Hello, and welcome to another episode of Twat Tech Radio. I'm your host today, Faceman, and today we'll be covering how to make your own twat. This originally started off as a joke, but I decided, what the heck, let's make an episode. So, we're going to start off with a little riddle to get your mind going, and then we'll continue on with the episode here. So, a riddle is a good way to get your listeners' brains active and keep going a little bit. But you have to remember that you also don't want them distracted because you have a topic for them to listen and learn about. So, I'm just going to go ahead and give you my riddle here. What won't break if you throw it off the highest building in the world, but will break if you place it in the ocean? So, the thing with this is, that you want to go ahead and move away from your riddle as fast as you can. You want to give them a couple of seconds to think about it, get the brain active, and then just keep moving. So, we're going to start with the things that you need to get a twat episode going. First off, you need an idea. My idea is a episode on teaching you how to make Twat Tech Radio. You need experience in whatever you're going to be teaching on, or whatever the word would be for communicating the skills that you may or may not have to the general community of those that may or may not be listening. You're going to need some recording software. I use a wonderful open source program called Audacity, and I will put a link to the SourceForge page, I believe that came out correctly, for Audacity in the show notes. Audacity is an excellent program. You can have multiple tracks, record from audio, record from your computer. It's an excellent program. I found out about it from Dual Parallel on Radio Freak America. Pimp, pimp, go check that out. Even though it's not my show, it's an awesome show. So, that's recording software. Remember to play around with it before you get going, do some sound checks, stuff like that. You get a microphone. I've got a little crappy Radio Shack microphone. Sometimes I use my microphone built into my PDA, and it has its own software on the PDA for recording, and it all seems to work pretty well. Sound quality is not really up on the list of things that are required for Twat Radio, so no need to worry about that. The other thing you're going to need is some closing music, where I have dropped off on that, as I don't have anything yet, but I guarantee you that there will be some on this one. So, go find some excellent closing music. You may also want some background music. Kind of eliminates any background noise that there may be, because the mind doesn't focus on that as it pops up. Just kind of covers it up a little bit, and if it can also provide a different setting for the topic that you're discussing. So, if I want it to sound all cheerful and happy, I might get a little, I don't know, Disney song or something. I don't know. So, choose your background music accordingly. I personally don't use any because I have a nice, quiet environment to record in. So as you get started, you want to introduce yourself, introduce your topic, state your objectives, explain the basics of what you'll be talking about, and give a little bit of history. So, I introduce myself as Face Man. We're doing an episode on doing Twat Tech Radio. My objectives are to teach you how to do this so that, for the overall goal, more twats are made. So, that's what that is. A little bit of history. The Twat Tech Radio was started way back when by Droops from Infonamicon. I probably said that wrong because it's a very hard word to say. But it was originally started by Droops. It's now being run by Enigma. Shouts to Enigma. So that's a little bit of history. You don't want to go really in-depth into it, but it all just kind of gets the mind going for anything that you're doing. So, I screwed up my show notes. Alright, so as you're getting going, you want a little preparation here. You want to arrange your topics for best learning potential. So, there's certain ways that the human mind learns. You have the five senses, and each one of those can be used in teaching, except we're doing a radio show here, so you can't really use sight, or can you? You can't really use touch, and you can't use smell, yet. Smell-o-matic is on the way. So, for visual, you can account for this by creating a image in one's head, which is then stored in the mind the same way an image would be. It's actually pretty cool. So that's basically the only sense that you can come back for that you don't have the ability to, but you do have hearing directly. So different people learn different ways. Some people learn best by hearing, some people learn best by seeing it, some people learn best by touching it and feeling it, and some people learn best by doing it, which most people learn relatively well by doing it. I have actually statistics here someplace. This is bad radio, I know. But if I scroll down here, okay. Psychologists report that people remember 15% of what they hear, 25% of what they see, 50% of what they hear and see, and 90% of what they do. So if you'll put that into action. And also, the way your brain stores things is if it thinks about something that it's... If you think about an action three times, it can actually be placed in your brain as a memory of an action that you've done. So, you can learn by doing, by going over the same thing three times and having your listener go along with this. So if I told you that you're playing baseball and you go to hit the bat, I mean you go to hit the ball, you hit the ball, flies out of the park, you run around the bases. Now I want you to think about this in detail. Get everything down to a pat. I want you to remember hitting each one of the bases as you go around. You're coming back in, you give your coach a high five, you're good to go, okay? Now I want you to do it again, alright? You whack the ball way out of the park. Think about each base as you're running around, alright? Give your coach a high five on the way back in, alright? Let's do it one more time. Whack the ball out of the field. Run around each one of the bases, think about each one of those individual bases. Come back and give your coach a high five, okay? Now, if you did it correctly, the way that I described it, and in enough detail, that is now a memory in your brain as something that you did. Now, you can distinguish this as not an actual memory because you don't have any memories leading up to it, nor can you remember in excellent detail what happened. You can't see the faces of the individual basemen. You can't remember what the bat felt like in your hands. But the more detail you put into that, the more detail can go into a memory. So, I could theoretically teach you a skill by just going over the same thing numerous times. So, I think that hopefully went over well here. It's actually a really cool thing, the way the brain stores memories and stores emotions along with memories, but that's not our topic for today. So, let's see, back to the show notes here. You want to avoid acronyms, as if the person doesn't know what it means, it can be very difficult for them to continue to learn about what's going on. They're thinking about what that acronym means. So, an example, I'm a Boy Scout, and we have an acronym in our Boy Scout troop, TLC. Now, most people know TLC as Tender Loving Care, but in the Boy Scouts, it's Troop Leadership Council. So, you need to try to avoid using acronyms. If you want to explain an acronym at the beginning of a show, or the first time you use it, and tell them what they mean, that's fine as well. But you want to try and avoid using more than three or four acronyms at a time. Because the brain, the way it stores stuff, if you have a whole bunch of acronyms, it can be really hard to follow. I was recently reading a book about the Marine Corps, and it was a fictional novel, but the author used a lot of acronyms, and he explained it first. But he would introduce three or four different acronyms every chapter, and it became very hard for me to follow along with the book. Eventually, I got down to it after I read the book a couple of times, and it was an excellent book. I don't remember what it was, but you get the idea. So you also want to manage your time effectively. Along with the statistics I had earlier of the psychologist's report of what people remember, there was an observation made by instructors that have revealed that most instructors proportion their time incorrectly by 0% of their time as introduction, 60% is explanation, 25% is demonstration, 15% application, and almost no summary whatsoever. Keeping in mind how participants learn best, a good guideline for distribution of time in presenting a session or a show would be 10% introduction, kind of getting the mind going here, 15% explanation, 25% demonstration, 45% application, and 5% summary. Now, it's kind of hard to do application. You could technically go over the same thing three times and have it stored as memory. But unless that's really important, you probably want to go ahead and skip application altogether. Demonstration can be replaced by examples. However, examples can become boring, so I might drop that down to 20% and raise the explanation to cover the rest. I spent a good deal of time on my summaries and my introductions, mainly because the introductions, I can tell a little bit about me, and I like talking about me. So, back to my show notes here. One of the other major things here is you do want to get good show notes. One of the things that I've learned is spell your show notes correctly. If you want to run a spell check or something, go for it. But that's one of the things that can really throw me off while I'm doing a show, is I'll run across something that I've misspelled incorrectly. Double negative there. Something that I've misspelled in my show notes kind of throw me off a little bit here. While pauses are good and can be used dramatically and to illustrate a point, they have a tendency to make you look stupid. Now, I know some people that when they go to edit shows, they'll take out all the pauses, and you get kind of fast talking and stuff, and that's not really cool. So, yeah. Alright. So, as you get into your main topic, I've already covered getting started. So, once you get into your main topic, there's a few things you want to do. You want to vary your tone and your pitch. This kind of keeps the brain active as you're teaching whatever it is that you're teaching. This is horrible radio, I tell you. You want to make sure that your pitch as you're getting going is not too high, but low enough that you can raise it. And not too low, but high enough that you can lower it, if you see what I mean. But, yeah, so basically in the middle, where I could lower my voice like this,
or I could go up like this.
I don't have any idea how that would come out on the radio like I just did. I'm getting some weird sound waves from it, but so you get the idea there. You can also vary your rate, and that'll just kind of change the way everything is going along here. And, you know, if it's a point where you might want to spend a little bit more time on it, you could kind of slow down a little bit. Or you can speed up a little bit. I mean, that's not really a good idea, as people find it kind of hard to listen as you're talking really, really fast. Plus, it's kind of hard to come up with words as you're going along, as you're moving kind of fast. But it's natural human instinct to talk faster than you normally would while you're trying to teach something. You want to make sure that your volume is okay while using Audacity or another sound recording program that you can see your levels here. You want to be almost peaking. Peaking is where you get to a point where the software or your microphone has reached a limit where it can't go any higher, and it just starts pushing everything together at the end there, and it makes for horrible audio. But you want to make sure that you have the loudest volume that you can get and still have that good audio, because anybody can turn down their volume, but not everybody can continue to take it up. So you want to get it just where it's starting to hit the peak there, and then do some sound checks and stuff before you start. You'll be good to go. But the major thing that you want to do here is articulate your words. I'm not very good at that. I'm a southern-born boy, but you Yankees ought to be able to do it a little bit better than I can. But that's something you kind of want to keep track of. You know, maybe get a sticky note that says, "Face man, articulate your words," and slap it to your monitor or something. So, another thing is questions. Questions kind of get the mind going. So, I might ask you, I don't have an example for this, I'm unprepared. So, you can ask questions and then follow it by a pause and allow your listener to think about it for a minute. And it's a good way to teach something, but you don't want to do it excessively. Another thing is you want to hit all your major points twice. And you want to hit just about everything twice. But so that would mean your major points are hit three times because of the summary. So you want to hit everything again in the summary, and then hit your major points three times, twice in the main topic and once in the summary. I believe I explained that a little overly. But, yeah. So, I'm missing something here. Alright, no, I'm not. So, in your summary, you want to kind of go over everything that you've already done here and where to learn more. But, for me, I'm going to tell you all the different things you need. You need an idea, you need experience, knowledge of what you're doing, recording software, a microphone, some closing music, simple stuff like that. You want to make sure that you arrange your show notes correctly, avoid some acronyms, manage your time effectively, make good show notes, not maybe show novellas like Stank Dog is known for doing, if you know what I'm talking about, for any of my listeners here. You want to make sure you introduce yourself, introduce your topic, state your objectives, explain the basics, give a little bit of history, vary your tone and pitch, make sure your pitch can change accordingly to whatever you may be doing, make sure your speech rate is okay, you don't want to talk too fast, not too slow, you may want to change it up a little bit as you're moving along, do your sound checks and everything before you start. Articulate your words. Articulate your words. Yeah, see. There you go. Questions are a good idea. And hit major points twice. So, yeah, that's it. For the riddle here, the good idea is that you don't want someone to not know the answer to your riddle, but you also wanted to move away from it kind of fast. So at the end, go ahead and give them the answer. The riddle, once again, was, what won't break if you throw it off the highest building in the world, but will break if you place it in the ocean? The answer? Next week. No, I'm just kidding. The answer? A tissue. This has been another episode of Twat Tech Radio. Thank you. Remember, kids, don't let your Twat Tech Radio go nearly this long.